Today on Seculo, big tech's campaign against conservatives. Rick Rennell will also be joining us on the show. You don't want to miss it.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Hey, welcome to Seculo. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. I want to ask you this, because when it happens to the RNC, you start wondering, you know, if it can happen to the Republican National Committee, it's a large political organization, what's happening to you? When you send emails, have you been censored by big tech? We'll take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110, because there's all sorts of ways you get censored. They can dethrottle your post. So where you feel like, hey, I'm still posting, but why are my friends that usually comment on these kind of posts, political posts, not commenting? Well, maybe they're not seeing it. That's part of what they'll do. Or you just get completely banned. You get put in, you know, Twitter jail, Facebook jail, as people call it. So I want to hear your stories about this. And again, we're in a political season where, you know, we're getting close to just being about a month away from the midterm elections. So a lot of wild stuff starts happening. You get all of the October surprises, the dirt, but on both sides. And people should be able to share, especially share their opinion, share information. People are just, this is when really people start even paying attention. A lot of voters start even paying attention. But listen to these numbers. RNC says that Google's suppressing their get out the vote emails and fundraising emails. So not just fundraising, but also get out the vote emails. Millions of emails. An RNC official told Fox News Digital that just since September 28th, so they were going to their end of the month. We all know that at ACLJ too. End of the month is very important. Those final few days of the month for fundraising. So that just since September 28th, Gmail suppressed more than 22 million RNC emails. 358,000 were get out the vote emails. So what did they do? On September 28th, Gmail spammed 3.1 million RNC emails. They just went right to your spam folder. The next day, Gmail spammed 9.8 million. 9.8 million emails. And on September 30th, Gmail then did 9.97 million, nearly 10 million emails. They've been dealing with this for months, but they saw this uptick, a serious uptick in the amount these last few days of the month. So the question now is, Google has not come up with a resolution yet. I even told our team, you know, we need to start checking this to see if we feel like our emails are being delivered at the number or percent they should be. So it's a new kind of, this would be a new kind of censorship, because we were talking about this in our meeting, and I want to get your thoughts on it. 1-800-684-3110. Share this with your friends and family. Think about this. Over 30 million RNC emails in 3 days sent to people's spam folders. And at this point, when you're getting this close to an election which could see the House go Republican, the Senate go Republican, every dollar raised is important. You don't know what email might spur someone who's got $5,000 to donate. Maybe they've been getting them for, maybe all year they've been getting that email, and then finally they get one. They say, you know what? Today's the day I'm going to step up. We're getting really close to the election. I want to make this donation. If it's happening to the RNC too at that level, then what's happening to campaigns? You know, campaigns that you might be supporting. So check your spam box too. See if you start seeing a lot. I mean, I would say, like, if you get one or two, that's one thing. When you start getting, first of all, it went from 3 million one day to 9 million both the next 2 days. 1-800-684-3110. We'll get more into the details on this, but have you been put in Facebook jail, Twitter jail? How have you navigated that? Did you come back? Are you afraid to post things now? Have you just said, I don't want to deal with it anymore? Maybe I'll go on Facebook to see what's going on, but I don't post much. Or Twitter, places like that. Give us a call. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. When we get back, I'll kind of tease you with this. I'll give you the percent of Democrat emails that get delivered. And let me tell you something. They don't have 30 million emails going to spam. We'll put it that way. But when you hear the percentages, you will be shocked. This has to be intentional. This cannot be an accident. 1-800-684-3110. Share with your friends and family. Be right back. Listen, we're seeing it right now. You talk about big tech censorship, and you get about half the viewers that we normally do, just on average, on places like Facebook and YouTube. And it's not the case at Rumble. So, you know, you say there's a difference. I can actually, see the difference. So if you're, again, I know a lot of you are listening to this show, but we see the big tech at work. Some of it algorithm-based. Sometimes, they don't like words you use, like big tech censorship. And so they immediately think that, I guess it's about them and that may be AI. But so I'm going to ask you this. If you are watching on Facebook or YouTube and Rumble too, but especially if you're on Facebook or YouTube, share this right now. And I want to see if those shares increase the number significantly. Can we actually see the increase in basically real time? We're totally live right now. So if you click that share button now, we'll see, is it getting actually shared? So are you able to take this content and deliver it to your friends list, people that follow you on those social media accounts? Because listen to this number. There's a nonpartisan study by NC State University. So I guess they're not, right-leaning. That's not coming out of a conservative university, but NC State. It found that Gmail allows, surprise, surprise, the vast majority of emails from the Democrat Party head right into your inbox. No spam filter there. While more than 2/3 of messages from conservative candidates are marked as spam. Listen to the number. Less than 10% of, quote, left-wing candidates' emails are marked as spam. That's a pretty small number. I would say with the amount of emails you get from politicians, especially if you've donated through one of the platforms, whether it's Act Blue or Win Red, you will get a lot of emails. The fact that if you go through the Democrat Party and the left wing is able to deliver 90%+, that's a very high number for anybody. I mean, I think a lot of corporations would take that kind of delivery. They probably love that kind of amount not going to spam. So 90%. Flip it around. 77% of right-wing candidates' emails end up in the spam folder. Now, at what point, because these are fairly highly regulated industries, and they get a lot of protection from the U.S. government. We talked about the Section 3, all that protection they get from liability. The question is, at what point do they cross over and this kind of censorship becomes illegal and unconstitutional? And there are court cases moving forward right now. There's a split in the circuit. Actually, there's one Texas law at play. There's split. So there's different circuit courts. Usually a private business would not have the same, would have the censorship abilities that the government would have. They could decide what they want to promote, what they don't want to promote. But here, remember, they're also paying. It's not like you're just sending out all these emails, millions and millions of emails. Gmail is making money off this. Google is making money off this. The servers are making money off this. The developers, the email companies. But the fact is, folks, that's why I want you to share right now with your friends and family. We want to see if that number changes. I will tell you right now, it is not yet. So even if you're letting us know in the chat if you've clicked the share button, tell us that, because I want to know how many of you are actually clicking share to see if the numbers change. 1-800-684-3110 to join us on air. Let's go to the phones, talk to some of you about your experience with these big tech companies. And again, this is not a battle that's going to be over in a day. We got to figure this out. 90% of conservative emails should not be going to spam if only 10% of liberal emails are. That's just bad, bogus, un-American, wrong, and potentially illegal. Ken in Massachusetts on line one. Hey, Ken.
Hey, Jay. Thanks for taking my call. This is something I'm glad you're talking about, because this has personally affected me, where I was on radio as a board op, but I would also drop, some truth stuff. And I guess it was one of them targeted words that I guess we get banned for. And I noticed my posts weren't going to certain people. People were telling me, I'm not seeing what you're posting. Yep. I can't get through to you. Where are you on Facebook? Where you? I can't even find you. I'm like, what are you talking about? Then I would, and I'm like, oh, I don't see that. And I'm like, so something is definitely going on. With the Shadow Band, which I'm very familiar with, which goes along them lines. And this all started about 4, 5, 6 years ago. You know, if you look at the timeline, you can see where I'm going with this. And another side note, I'll add to the email thing you were just saying. It also, people need to look in the Gmail and their promotion boxes too, because I've noticed as of late, since you just said that, I've had to go not only to my spam boxes to check my emails, but also my promotion boxes where, you know, businesses are targeting. So people got to understand that this is also revenue based. So if these companies are not making revenue, then they're shadow banning us either for revenue or just because. What's your opinion on that?
Yeah, I think this. I think, one, you're right about the timing. Is about right during Trump and the rise of a lot of new people joining the conservative movement. And the left didn't like that. So you saw him utilize social media. And at first, they kind of, all the social media companies were on board with it. They were like, oh, this is great. We're bringing millions of new people onto our platform. It was kind of like how CNN's numbers, you know, were doing much better when they were talking about Donald Trump all the time as a potential presidential candidate. Then he ran, and then he, you know, was in the debates, huge, you know, numbers for debates. And then suddenly, you know, when he actually became president, started doing conservative things like conservative Supreme Court nominees, recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, putting America first, building the wall. Suddenly, oh, wait, now we got to shut this down. So I will tell you right now that just about everybody watching on Facebook let us know they shared this with their friends and family. The number did not change a bit. So I appreciate all of you letting us know that you did it, that you shared it. But just like Ken was talking about, you feel like, You felt like you did it, right? You shared. I should be able to see that number because, I mean, a number of you, hundreds of you just said in the chat that you did it. And the number stayed exactly the same, if not less. So I think it's one or two steps. And just remember, 90% of left-wing candidate emails are delivered. What he was talking about, too, is if you get most of your email now like through a phone or mobile device, you're not seeing all those side ways that like Gmail marks promotions, spam and all of that. You can get into that in your phone, but that's not like your normal inbox. So it takes extra steps. Again, there's a fine line. If this was happening like emails everywhere and there's spam emails, but let's be honest. There should not be that kind of disparity between liberals, only 10% end up in spam. They have a 90% delivery rate. Think about that. If you run a business or if you've worked on any kind of nonprofit or fundraising, you know that is incredibly good, incredibly high. And then you flip the page and the Republicans have an under 30% for conservatives. We're going to keep taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Diane in Nevada, online 5. Hey, Diane.
Hey, thank you so much for taking my call. I was noting that just within the last few hours, Donald Trump is finally suing CNN for defamation. And he mentions the fact that they defrauded the American public as well. Now, I'd love to see our organization, and I'd pay for it, you know, whatever donations you felt would be worthwhile, to get a class action suit against these people. Just like the gentleman before, I'm a business person, and I need that email, and to change it would be very difficult. It's easy to get off Twitter. I already did that, and I already got off Facebook.
This is different. Yeah, right. You know, I mean, Gmail, Google, web services, it's like Amazon Web Services. That's not so easy when you're running a business or running an organization. I think what we have to see here is, like the RNC said, they haven't. They're trying to work this out with Google and looking at their legal options. The problem is this is an unclear world, still a little bit of the Wild West, and there's a lot of built-in legal protections for these tech companies when it comes to liability. And should they be treated the same as just like any other private business? I don't think so. I don't think they are like any other private business. But the deliverable number speaks for itself. You don't need a conspiracy. You just look at the facts. Go to the NC State study. Think about what the RNC just said. 30 million RNC emails went into spam folders in 3 days. It started at 3 million. Then it went up to over 10, then it almost 10 the third day. So the final few days of the month. We're going to keep taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Continue to take your phone calls. People are fired up about this. I will tell you, folks, who are listening, we're testing kind of as people are watching, no shift. So what we're thinking about is maybe like halfway through the broadcast, we might change the title and see if that changes. Things like suddenly it's not about, if they don't think it's about big tech censorship, do the numbers go up and do your shares start getting delivered? We'll see. We're at live test mode, if you will, on Seculo today. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. Support the work of the American Center for Law and Justice at ACLJ.org. All right, we're going to continue talking about the big tech censorship. I did want to update you on some ACLJ items. So if you're on the phone, on hold, Scott, Chris, Casey, we're going to get to your calls. We got plenty of time to do it, but I want to update you on some ACLJ work going on at the United Nations Human Rights Council. As you know, we played my intervention that I did specifically on Afghanistan, but we have a team, and CC Howell's joining us, of course, at the European Center for Law and Justice. I'm glad kind of now that we're getting out of this COVID world and the UN is starting to operate again in person, you can see some more of our team members. A lot of you may know Greg Orr, who oversees our office in the European Center for Law and Justice. You've seen Christoph before, and more team members we're going to show too, because there were two interventions done. So, CC, before we play one from Nikolai Bauer, so people are going to see two European Center for Law and Justice team members in this that they may not have seen before. He is going to be speaking on Pakistan.
Yeah, this is the 51st session of the Human Rights Council. And like you said, you did one on Afghanistan. You did the oral intervention. And that's the number one country that persecutes Christians. And so Pakistan is the number 8th country that you're going to hear. And then we did one on India, which is the number 10th one country that persecutes Christians. And it's interesting for Pakistan, we actually have an office in Pakistan. So we get to talk about the cases that we're actually doing. So it's this will be a very interesting one.
Yeah. So let's take, again, you can listen if you're listening to the broadcast. You're going to watch this. This is at the UN Human Rights Council in Geneva, our European Center for Law and Justice. It's Nikolai Bauer from our team there. Take a listen or watch.
European Center for Law and Justice, you have the floor for joint statement.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. In Pakistan, Christians are often accused of blasphemy and attacked by Muslim mobs. Every year, about 40 to 50 cases of blasphemy are registered, and the courts continue to make unjust decisions due to increasing social pressure from Islamists. Let me take a few recent examples. Last June, the Lahore High Court upheld the death sentence of two Christian brothers for having posted blasphemous content online. The court completely disregarded the lack of any evidence or investigation. The brothers have been incarcerated for almost 8 years, and they will spend several more years for the appeal to be heard by the Supreme Court. Last July, a Christian man was convicted of trumped-up charges of blasphemy and sentenced to death. The allegations arose from a customer who did not want to pay his bill for his automobile repairs. Another case we keep bringing before this council involves a young Christian who was 17 years old when he was arrested for blasphemy charges. He has spent over 5 years in prison, even though the allegations do not even constitute blasphemy. The trial court continues to postpone the closing statements each month. The government of Pakistan must stop the abuse of blasphemy laws, punish violent attackers, and equip courts to provide justice. I thank you.
I Bauer from the European Center for Law and Justice. See, it's powerful. I think it's also powerful because we can do them here. You see in America, you see someone fridge. Someone just said in our chat, I mean, and this is why we say it often, because you don't know every day. We know that you can't tune in every day necessarily. They said, wow, we have an office in Pakistan. That's great. You know, yeah. So people are still learning about that. And we're going to be actually getting a lot more imagery. Our attorney who oversees that office, Shahir Argil, is traveling there.
Yes.
And he's going to have a film team with him.
Right.
And he's going to bring it back so we can show people these stories and the families and the people impacted by this persecution.
Yeah, our international practice is great, and it's vast, and so it is a good time for people to see that. You know, what's interesting, the 17-year-old that was talked about, Shahzad Masih, he actually, our office there actually has a hearing this Thursday on that case. So I would also say just be praying for that hearing, because this might be an opportunity that we actually get justice in that case. And then we also did, today we did an intervention on India, and just we're able to point out that it's, you know, the 10th worst country for persecution of Christians. And just the fact that last year there were 761 instances of persecution of Christians recorded. This year, in just the first few months of this year, was 207. And typically their police are involved. They frequently arrest Christians under false charges of forced conversion. And the Hindu extremists aim to cleanse the country of Christian presence and influence. And we saw that with our client, Pastor Naren, who was trapped there for 7 months. Actually, an immigration officer literally told him that they were trying to cleanse their country from a Christian presence, and that's why he was targeted. So we're able to bring these things to the Human Rights Council, and it's very important.
And what you're seeing there is another member from our European Center for Law and Justice team, Louis-Marie Bona, who is delivering this one. And again, do we just want to show you this? And that's what they're delivering on India. So I just wanted to show, too, because you don't always see our team members from the European Center for Law and Justice. English is not their first language. But I will say that they speak, better English than I can speak French. And so they go there. They're committed. Strasbourg to Geneva, where we're based in Strasbourg, France. It's not a far trip, and we're able to go and be back in person. We're still able to do some interventions also right from here, as I did earlier in the week. But again, they make an impact. We want to encourage people. They can check these out too at aclj.org and support our work there. And if you're someone who said, wow, I mean, you're doing this work in Pakistan, you're on the ground there. Again, think about supporting the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. So thank you, CC, for updating us on that. I want to get back to the censorship. I will tell you, folks, one, thank you for sharing. It did not change the number at all. I mean, it is wild. So, I mean, we gave it like 10 minutes to look. And so because I think in this subject headline, it says big tech censorship. Now, it doesn't call out any of them specifically, but it does say have those words tech censorship that we're being censored as we speak. And you kind of helped us in that test to see. So I'll shout out to Rumble as always. They don't do that. They're sharing us on their homepage. And I think more and more people are learning about that platform. So check it out. Be a subscriber on Rumble. Follow us there. That's not going to happen at Rumble. Again, it's just interesting to kind of test this in real time. I'm going to take one of your phone calls. We'll take more when we come back from the break. 1-800-684-3110. How have you been censored by big tech? Because now the RNC is feeling it. 30 million RNC emails in a spam folder in over 3 days. 30 million. The left has a 90% delivery rate right into your inbox. The right, about 10%. I mean, 30%. So 70% versus don't go, and they've got 90% going in. So already there, you're impacting people. Even if they don't open the emails, they see the subject line. They're thinking, oh, I'm getting a lot of emails from the Democrats. We're you know, not hearing anything from Republicans. Yeah, because they're sitting in your spam folder. Let's go. Do we have time? We'll take the calls when we come back. We only got a minute left here. Let me do this. Let me encourage you to go to aclj.org and also to check out, it's a very different show, the Secular Brothers podcast. And we've got another new episode coming up today. We put them out on our social media. A lot of people watch the broadcast. What we're asking people to do right now, though, too, is to make sure they sign up on those podcast platforms like Apple Podcast or Spotify, and subscribe or to our podcast, because those numbers are important as well. Thousands of you. We hit over 100,000 people watching last week. So we appreciate you. I think you're enjoying the show. We're having fun with it. It's a lot different tone than this broadcast, but we still get into serious issues. We're going to get into some issues there that we won't even get into today on this show, like the Herschel Walker issue. That will be on the Secular Brothers. We'll tease that out a little bit. Check it out. It's SEKULOW, SeculoBrothers.com. and a sign up either at Apple Podcasts or Spotify.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Hey, welcome back to Seculo, folks. We're going to be joined by Rick Rennell in the next segment of the broadcast to talk about this nuclear threat from Russia. This is very serious. Okay, it's not a laughing matter and no joke, because this is, again, they're not just talking about tactical nuclear weapons, and even that is a line that shouldn't be crossed. Because of the way, again, the recklessness. You've seen the Russians on the battlefield. Do you really trust them with how they've used those kind of weaponry? To even if you said, keep that war in Ukraine, you know, maybe it's the wind blows and suddenly you've got, you know, nuclear issues going on in Western Europe, Central Europe. So we're talking about that because they are moving their nuclear arsenal around in ways that, again, are extremely provocative, to say the least, and very threatening, because, again, it doesn't matter your battlefield superiority, air superiority. You start using some of these 1,600-foot nuclear tsunami-enabling nuclear weapons. I mean, 600 feet in length. So we're not, that's not tactical nuclear weapons for the battlefield, which still would be a line crossed that we have not seen. So we're going to talk to Rick about that. This censorship got to the point where we're changing the title of the show as we speak and like kind of like relaunching on Facebook to see if that changes the numbers, because we had so many of you share the broadcast. You literally told us that you shared and the number stayed exactly the same. Exactly the same. And again, I know I'm talking to a lot of people who are listening. Not everybody's watching the broadcast, but I think it's important to point that out. And we're, again, we're seeing on Rumble our kind of normal daily number. So it's not like we're off or shouldn't be. But I want to go to your phone calls. We'll go in order. So let's go to Chris first in Virginia on line four. Hey, Chris.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for joining us.
So I've been warned on Facebook and I got banned on Facebook. And it's kind of like getting kicked out of high school and you don't get invited to your reunions and you don't know what's going on with your friends. Plus, lost a little bit of work because of it.
Yeah, because you get completely banned, and you can't get info out. So we're very careful about it because we have to use web hosting services like any of you that have businesses or organizations. We've got to get emails out, text messages out. They control both the back end and the front. So I mean, they have a significant amount of power. Ted Cruz called them the new oligarchs. Now, one day they may be on your side, so the left loves it, right? They're getting 90% of their emails delivered. We're only getting 30% on the conservative side. You know, they're going 70% of ours are going to spam. RNC's got 30 million emails went to spam in 3 days. But what if the politics change? You get a few more Elon Musk. You know, the left may not love that either. So it's a bad precedent in the United States. Let Americans decide. Get them the info. If you want to unsubscribe from email list, you can do that. But if you want the emails and you want to get the political emails to know, I mean, I feel inundated by them sometimes, but it also tells you like what's going on in Arizona. What are they talking about more in Nevada? What's the issue in Pennsylvania? You know, like where, you know, what are the big issues there from politically? I mean, listen, we have our team, they follow the Planned Parenthood emails. What are they up to? You know, they're telling you in their email. What's their kind of next step? Where are they focusing? So you can unsubscribe. That's different. But if you're subscribed, you know, if you're not clicking that button, they shouldn't all go to spam. We're not talking about one or two. We're talking about the vast majority of emails from conservative groups and the RNC are going to spam. We were dethrottled today on Facebook. It was obvious. It's obvious because the title of the show didn't call out Facebook directly, but it's called out big tech censorship. But we're going to be joined by somebody who understands this. He knows it too. He's had to fight back on lots of social media platforms. That's Rick Rennell. He's a former member of the cabinet. He's been banned on social media. But they, you know, they banned a former president as well. We'll take your calls. 1-800-684-3110. As always, support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. We'll be right back. Serious for a moment here and talk about this threat that we're starting to see more and more emanating out of Russia, Russian leaders, movements of Russian military equipment when it comes to the potential use of nuclear weapons, whether it's tactical, whether it's some of the larger nuclear weapons that Russia has, some that could cause even tsunamis is what they claim, and that would make, you know, land areas uninhabitable. So I want to go right to Rick Rennell. He was because he's former acting director of national intelligence and he's former ambassador to Germany, which is part of the world which would be highly affected if Putin decides to use nuclear weapons. Rick, and right off the bat, from what you're seeing and the world that you inhabited, are we close to a moment in time where we maybe see nuclear weapons being used on the battlefield again?
Look, we really don't know. I think we should take all of these threats from President Putin very seriously. But there is a huge strategic mistake going on in Washington, D.C., and that is every time Putin talks about nuclear weapons or increasing the war, Washington's only response is increasing the war on our end and doing more military options. Where is the State Department? Where is diplomacy? When a madman and a leader is talking about using nuclear weapons, where is the UN? Where is Tony Blinken? Why not rush in? Anthony Blinken has a plane at his disposal. He can get on the plane immediately and go and speak to Putin. Joe Biden can do the same thing. I don't understand what is happening in Washington. Nobody wants to talk. They just want to beat their chest and race to war. Haven't we had enough of this?
Yeah.
This is crazy.
No, I mean, that's what I think. The vast majority of our audience, you know, they've saw the past. They are very weary of warfare and sending our troops, especially into, you know, a war with Russia, for goodness sakes. Not because we couldn't win it, but because the cost would be, and the fact is the threat level that we'd be living under, the nuclear threat level. We are seeing now, Rick, that a train that Russia uses to control their nuclear weapons is heading to the front lines. I mean, they're not even hiding some of this. They've deployed the world's largest submarine, which carries what they call apocalypse drones. So that's not just talking about, you know, tactical nuclear weapons used on a small part of a battlefield, which could still cause serious problems in Europe. But I mean, like you said, why wouldn't we at this point, when we're sending all this money and resources over, we know we still have to deal with the Russians. Why do you think they just decided? It feels like we've decided we don't want to talk at all.
Look, Washington, D.C. knows only one thing, and that's money. And maybe a second thing, which is power. And so they're racing to war. I think the defense contractors are absolutely celebrating. Look, I want to be very clear about something. I've been a diplomat for 11 years. I've worked at the State Department. Nothing is better for a tough diplomat sitting at a table than having a credible threat of military action from your president, from your head of state, from your leader. I love the fact that Donald Trump had behind me when I was negotiating a credible threat of military action where he was unpredictable. No one knew exactly what he was going to do because that helped me peacefully try to get to a point of conclusion. What we have right now is not a credible threat of military action. We have Joe Biden saying war, planning war, telling Zelensky in the beginning to get out of the way because Putin was coming. Now we're spending $12 billion plus on more war, and there's zero diplomacy going on. I don't know if Joe Biden doesn't know how to negotiate, if Anthony Blinken doesn't know how to negotiate, but this is a disaster because we're racing to war.
Yeah, but we played for people during the break. Who watch the broadcast online, the NATO Secretary General, I mean, he's talking about, like a matter of fact, that there's going to be nuclear weapons used and NATO's got, I mean, it is wild if you just take a step back and realize this is not a movie. This is reality. And yes, we can feel distant from it. I think COVID even makes us, the travel bans that were in place made us all feel a little more distant. But that's, you know, this is real. These are, the NATO Secretary General is talking about the use of nuclear weapons in a very real way, and in a timeliness that this could happen like at any moment.
Well, one of the things that's really troubling too is that the media only have military leaders talking on camera and you know, on cable television. Look, I get it. We want to be prepared, and I am the person who wants to make sure that the United States is absolutely prepared. But we should also work really hard on the diplomatic front to avoid using military action. And that's what I don't see going on. I don't see Susan Rice, who's supposed to be a diplomat, and she's at the White House talking about calming things down, calling for an emergency session of the UN Security Council, getting on a plane and racing over to Putin. Why isn't Joe Biden going over and talking directly to Vladimir Putin? Talk is a tactic. It's not a goal. It's not a replacement for being wimpy. It is a tactic to try to solve problems. If you have a very tough military response and a very tough diplomat, you can get things done.
Rick, I want to switch a little bit gears. We're going to follow this very closely. We've got a great team on this to keep people updated, because the seriousness level is just can't be understated that we're reaching this point. We're wintertime. All things change on the ground there. You got the Chechen leader speaking out. So we're gonna watch all closely. But I want to get into some politics too, because we're also getting close to being not far away from just a month away from the midterm elections. And to take us into a couple of races, I know you're very involved in all across the country, but especially out west, for those of us who are on the East Coast, in Nevada and in Arizona. Can you update us on those Senate races?
Look, on the Senate races, I think Adam Laxalt in Nevada is looking very good. He's 2 points up. He has raised a great amount of money this quarter, one of the best quarters that he's ever had. But his opponent, Catherine Cortez Masto, who most people have never heard of, she's been in office for 6 years, but she's there. She just announced that she raised $15 million. Now, she's 2 points down. She's been pouring tens of millions of dollars into this race. This is a flip to go from Democrat to Republican. It's very important. I don't think that she's going to back down. She's raising money like crazy. They're throwing everything they can at Adam. He is up, and we need to support him as much as possible, because he can win, and this is a flip. In Arizona, I would just say Blake is only 2 points down, Blake Masters. And when you look at the field in Arizona with Carrie Lake as governor and Abe Hamadeh as running for attorney general, yeah, both of these two are up. Abe is up like 9 points. Carrie's up like 5 or 6. They could really help Carrie, yeah, Blake Masters right over. So don't count Blake out. Support Blake.
Yeah, and that also, Rick, I mean, it shows the importance. I'm glad you brought up the governor's race, the attorney general's race, because it's easy to just think D.C., you know, Senate. But in all these races across the country, we've got governors on the ballot, local races, statewide races, and they can make a huge difference too in pushing some of those the federal candidates and statewide candidates over the line. So I appreciate that update, as always, from Rick Rinnell, both on his national security and diplomatic career, and also his political career. He's able to deliver both for us. So always, Rick, appreciate you joining us today on the show. And again, folks, the importance of that, like, is making sure, are you getting the email from Adam Lax that's being delivered to your inbox? Or because you might be outside the state, but let me tell you, so the Democrats aren't afraid to pour money in from out of state. And as Rick said, they are dumping money in to these races. I mean, if you're down to or up to, that is going to be turnout. and momentum. And we're getting into that time period where all the nasty stuff's going to come out. Like I said, we're on the Secular Brothers podcast. We'll address some of the Herschel Walker issues today. We just didn't have time to get to all of that today on the broadcast. Yeah, because I want to take more of your phone calls, too, and the text side of this at 1-800-684-3110. There's also senators taking action. We want more explanation from the FBI on what happened to that pro-life activist out of Pennsylvania with the FBI showing up at his door. They've got serious questions. They want answers. They're not satisfied by what the FBI has provided. That's a good thing. They want more information about how this occurred. Why, again, did 20-plus FBI agents with guns drawn show up at this activist door because he shoved someone? And by the way, there was no state charges brought, no local charges. A civil case was dropped because the person that supposedly was pushed didn't even show up. I mean, but the federal government came in a year later to protect what? It's abortion distortion. We know that. 1-800-684-3110 if you got questions about that situation. If you have felt Facebook or YouTube or Twitter censorship, you know, we want to hear from you because we saw it in real time. We are seeing it in real time today on Facebook, where we're about half the amount of numbers we usually are. And we had all of you share it. You were telling us in the chat you were sharing it. We even changed the title. So we'll see. Has that changed anything significantly? Will the title change? It doesn't always work because, you know, the notices that go out or don't go out. So it's very interesting. See how we have to even. And you start having to censor yourself to make sure you can bring your audience in. So you want to tell people what you're going to be talking about, but you also have to say, well, if I tell them this, will I even be able to talk to you? We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to Secular. I do want to update you a little bit. We might also get to this in Secular Brothers. We're definitely going to get to that animal rights protest that got taken down by the some members of the LA Rams. Which, again, you run onto the field on a football. I just love the fact you can tell they both look at each other and go, let's do this. And again, I think that was great too, because it helps the security guards out as well. You never know what people are up to. So they put themselves at risk too by taking them out. But they're obviously trained professionals at taking people down. And it was great to see. And it made a little Monday Night Football a little more fun. We're going to get to the Herschel situation on the Secular Brothers podcast. I did want to update you on a big tech news, is that Elon Musk has offered now, before they go to trial on whether or not, you know, on the bots issue and the disclosure issues, whether or not he has to buy. He said, okay, fine, I'll just buy you. So Twitter put in the letter. They actually halt the trading of Twitter stock at the original price. So I'm not sure how Twitter says no. At this point, it's like $54 a share. So no fighting over the whether or not it's bots or this or that. We'll see. It's been a back and forth, but we know that it could have serious impacts. He was criticized. It was interesting because he just, like a lot of people, would like to see the war in Ukraine come to an end, and he questioned some of the decisions the Ukraine leadership made. And he's been like overwhelmingly attacked. And this is a guy who used his own money and his own satellites to help the Ukrainian people. He said he's pro-Ukraine, and he's put the satellites in place. But if you question anything, that like Zelensky does, you're suddenly like a Russian agent, which I think puts us in a very dangerous place, especially for people who put their money on the line, put their money where their mouth is on these issues. Another interesting topic I wanted to update you on, and Andy Economou is joining us. And Andy, this is we've seen 12 U.S. senators who say, you know what, we're not satisfied yet by you FBI on what happened to the pro-life protester, which is really more of a sidewalk counselor, and the shoving incident, and why on earth 20 plus FBI agents with guns drawn showed up at his door. And they want more answers. They are not satisfied by what the FBI is, if they provided anything yet, but they want more.
They sure do. The Senate, the ranking member of the Judiciary Committee, Senator Grassley, and 11 Republican senators, which comprise the totality of the Republicans on that committee, have sent a pretty stringent letter to Attorney General Merrick Garland and Director Chris Wray, and they want to know, why did the Justice Department wait 11 months after the October 2021, it's almost a year, incident to indict Mr. Houck? Want a list of the Justice Department and FBI officials who proposed and decided to open a grand jury investigation after the criminal complaint in the state court had been dismissed. They want to know, who were the FBI officials and the Justice Department officials who approved the execution of the arrest warrant on Mr. Houck, and how many law enforcement personnel did the FBI use in executing the arrest warrant? These are questions that the senators want to know, because here you have a case of a man who was involved in a pushing and shoving incident involving his child. The state criminal charges were dropped. The civil case, the prosecutor, the plaintiff didn't show up twice. The so-called victim didn't show twice. That case was dismissed. Now the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the United States government, the central government of the United States, comes in, indicts him, sends out a complete posse of FBI agents with guns, with shields and helmets to take down a father of multiple children, who all he wanted to have when they took him away to jail was his rosary to go with him. Jordan, this is an outrageous misuse of power, but it's the politicization again of the FBI. You mess with abortion, and we're going to get you.
Yeah, and this is, you know, they bring up in the information they want to know, and again, this is, it's powerful when 12 U.S. senators come together to do this. They say, you know, why did he, was he not allowed to self-report? Like, even, okay, putting aside that it's ridiculous they're even bringing charges on, he didn't throw a punch. So pushing and shoving, yeah, you can get in trouble. I'm not telling you you go push and shove people. You can be arrested for that, and they could have brought charges against him, but they decided it wasn't a serious case made. On the civil side, the guy didn't even show up who got pushed, supposedly pushed, after he was, you know, screaming obscenities at this man's, a 12-year-old son, so at a minor, right. In a situation. But they say, well, why didn't, if you were going to arrest him, why not just let him, you know, be arraigned?
Listen, I've...
It's not a seriously violent crime. It's not a drug dealer, you need to surprise.
Exactly.
It's not a flight risk.
He wasn't a drug dealer. He wasn't, you know, shuttling illegal immigrants around. He didn't have some kind of safe house where he had all kinds of people hidden away. He was a father in his house, okay? In cases where I prosecuted one or two people cases, you know how many agents you sent out to arrest them? If you're going to do an arrest, two. That's all you send. Two agents if it's a subject who's been indicted. But in most cases, what we did is we communicated with the lawyer for the defendant, as this lawyer for Mr. Houck did, and said, you voluntarily surrender him and he can sign his own bond or send him a summons to appear for his initial appearance and ultimately his arraignment. That's how you handle these cases. But abortion distorts. And this is what happened in this case.
Yeah, I mean, I get folks, I'm going to take some of your phone calls about the Facebook issue. What I want to remind you of is, when you hear about these stories, we're not just moving on and saying, we don't want to talk about, you know, we've talked about it, so we're not going to follow up. We're not going to let the FBI get off the hook without explaining themselves here, and at least explain, you know, who made these decisions, who green-lighted this. And 12 U.S. senators can get those answers when they join forces. So we appreciate them taking that step, too, and also not letting this go at a time when, you know, they're being told, especially on the Republican side, let's not talk about abortion, let's not talk about, we're getting too close to the election. They say, no, you know, if an American's treated this way, we want to know why. And you can't have the FBI acting this way, and we've seen it over and over again. But this certainly is different. One thing if you're Donald Trump to deal with, it's another thing if you're an activist in Pennsylvania. I mean, but we're all facing similar kind of bizarre treatment by these just overly politicized law enforcement. Let me take final call of the day. Casey in Florida on line 6. Hey, Casey.
Hey, man. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, I've been censored on Facebook for going on 4 years now for my political support of Donald Trump. My business has been destroyed. I found out that Facebook and Google have an algorithm where they tie you together, and I've had to use multiple different marketing companies to try to undo that web that they create.
Oh, like create like your personal account, your business, right? Yeah, I mean, it all emanates from similar accounts. And like you said, especially like if you're a small business and this is kind of, you know, personal to business account, you're running it all the same. And you're trying to figure out the algorithm constantly, right, to run your business. And if you can't even be on there, you can't even test that. But when you see a statistic, this came out of NC State, okay, not a conservative school, and you see 90% of left-leaning emails get delivered to an inbox, and only 30%? Of conservative emails. So they're banning 70%. They're throwing into spam, which is basically banning, throwing them into the, you know, into the nowhere zone. The RNC is speaking up on it. They had 30 million emails in 3 days be sent to spam folders. So they're not taking this lying down. We're not taking it lying down either. We saw it today. We put big tech in our title. Rumble, no problem. Facebook, half the amount of people. You shared it, and they didn't even let you do that. We'll talk to you tomorrow on Seculum.